Tonight on Australia Talks Back on Radio National, the fate of Tasmania's old growth forests. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Sandy McCutcheon. Thanks for joining us here on Radio National and around the world through Radio Australia and on the internet. Well, Monday's Four Corners program reignited that long smouldering debate about Tasmania's old growth forests and pointed to the relationships between the government and Gunns, the monopoly logging company. It argued forests were sold off cheaply with the company reaping an incredible profit margin. There are also allegations that the way in which old-growth forests are being clear-filled breaches the state's Regional Forest Agreement. Under the Regional Forestry Agreement, Tasmania's forests are exempt from national endangered species laws, and according to green groups, the whole process is also exempt from the normal checks and balances, even such things as freedom of information searches. So tonight, on Australia Talks Back on Radio National, we'd like to hear your views about Tasmania's forest management. Is the Regional Forest Agreement working, or should the federal government step in to sort it out? The number to ring, 1-800-802-341. That's 1-800-802-341, right around the country. Love to hear from you. Before we go to calls, I'd like to bring in Alistair Graham from the Tasmanian Conservation Trust. And Alistair, good to have you on the program. Welcome.
Thank you. Good evening, Sandy.
Now, in your view, has the Regional Forestry Agreement actually failed, or has it just got a few flaws that need fixing?
Well, I think it has flaws, but the flaws are serious. There's no doubt the Regional Forestry Agreement has delivered some benefits, but overall we're profoundly disappointed that a lot of the industry benefit provisions in the Regional Forestry Agreement were implemented promptly, and a lot of the nature conservation benefits that are in the agreement have yet to be implemented. And the critical one is introducing a decent system of land clearing controls in Tasmania. It's bitterly disappointing.
So how long is that overdue for implementation? If it's in
The RFA says that it will be done by 1999, so we've been waiting a fair while. And we've been having, obviously, correspondence with ministers, and given that Prime Minister Howard's signature is on the Tasmanian Regional Forest Agreement, we're seriously disappointed that the federal government has been allowing Tasmania to get away with failing to implement an agreement that has the Prime Minister's signature on it.
So is there an argument for Tasmania's old forest to come under federal laws?
Well, it's our view, having asked politely and nicely for so many years, that the time's come where the only way this is going to get sorted out if we get full and forceful federal intervention just to sort this out once and for all. It's quite clear what has to be done to get the forest industry on a path to sustainability based on plantations, and it's inevitably going to happen. And the critical thing is that we get it done quickly so that we actually have some best chance to get the best conservation outcomes out the other end.
Well, the industry's economic arguments about jobs are fairly sound, though, aren't they?
Not really. We've seen since the RFA was signed in 97, we've lost 1,000 jobs from manufacturing in forestry in Tasmania. There has been a doubling in the rate of wood chip exporting and a doubling in the rate of logging since the RFA was signed. So, of course, there have been a whole lot more jobs in the bush, in the actual forestry and logging activities. But in the things that matters for the Australian economy and the Australian community, which is jobs in processing, we've lost 1,000 since the RFA. And if you compare that to the West Australian government's strategy of halting old growth logging and putting in a transition strategy to a sustainable forest industry, they've only displaced about 500 jobs. That's a big dislocation, but they've put the money into setting up the programs to facilitate proper transition, and generally the program has gone down very well and the sky has not fallen in. These are easy things to do to make the transition out of native forests of high conservation value and into plantations, and we just have to bite the bullet and do it. And it's obvious that the Tasmanian government, enthralled to a rampant industry, are not going to bite the bullet, and they basically need to be persuaded by federal intervention.
But Alistair, why are they failing to bite the bullet? I mean, it's all very well to say, you know, that they're not doing it, but why not? What's behind it?
Well, I think for mainland listeners, it's hard to convey the extent to which state governments of either Liberal or Labor persuasion are enthralled to the resource sector. And years ago it used to be hydro industrialisation, now it's forestry companies and wood chipping. And the reality is that guns have basically proceeded with a highly successful strategy of aggregation of the forest industry over the last 10 years and are now the overwhelmingly dominant player in the industry in Tasmania, and they have utter dominance of the political environment here. It's very frustrating political climate to work in as a conservationist working for an organisation that's committed to engagement with formal processes and engagement with government.
Talking of processes, can you explain to me and to the listeners around the country this whole issue of forward contracts and the impact they have in this whole debate?
Well, one of the problems over the years is that the Forestry Tasmania, the government entity charged with managing public native forests, have always inflated estimates of sustained yield by counting in trees that were never in their production wood production zones, which means they've always had an inflated sense of what they think they can produce. And in order to try and make it a bit harder to allow public policy to deliver nature conservation outcomes, they signed 10-year contracts, which we know nothing about in terms of what the terms of those contracts are. They lock themselves into supplying a lot of wood, which makes it very difficult to get any kind of fair political outcome to a discussion about what should happen to an area of native forest, even when it's widely accepted that these native forests are of World Heritage value.
Yes. Alistair, just before we go to calls, one last thing, and I'll come back to you afterwards, of course, but the Regional Forest Agreement, my understanding, says old growth, clear felling and chipping is to end by 2010. Is that right?
Not the RFA. It's an internal process in Tasmania called Tasmania Together, where a group of community leaders with support from the government went out and asked people in the community what they would like, what's their vision for the future. And it was quite clear that the overwhelming majority of people thought that bringing old-growth forest logging to an early end was a really good thing to do for a whole range of environmental and social and amenity reasons. And that target was generally agreed and notionally accepted by government.
So there's only a notional acceptance and there's no legally binding thing. So the wood chipping could go on forever.
Indeed.
I'll come back to you, Alistair Graham from the Tasmanian Conservation Trust, and we'll also be joined in a moment or two by Kate Carnell. You'll, of course, remember Kate as Chief Minister of the ACT, but these days her hat is that of Executive Director of the National Association of Forest Industries, and we'll be pleased to talk to Kate in just a moment. Let's take some calls around the country first and go to, well, let's go to Tasmania's Reedy Marsh and to Andrew. Andrew, welcome to the program.
Welcome, Sandy.
Yes, g'day.
How are you?
Very well indeed, Andrew.
That's good.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. You asked the question, is the RFA working or should it, the federal government sort it out?
Yes.
We have tried to address deficiencies of the Regional Forest Agreement since its inception, and we have failed. We have pointed out the problems and have repeatedly been ignored. And at the moment, the levels of timber extraction from native forests are not determined by the ecological potential and capability of the forest. The level of cut exceeds the capacity of the forest.
Yes. So is there a case for the federal government to step in?
Well absolutely. The Regional Forest Agreement reduced the conservation targets when they did the RFA for social and economic reasons, and
yes,
those reasons are jobs. And in the debate, which is a fractious debate in Tasmania, jobs are claimed to be the reason why conservation shouldn't proceed. But since the Regional Forest Agreement, the jobs which were at 6,500 as per the Regional Forest Agreement, or 2.5% of the total employment in Tasmania, have now reduced and in the to around about 3,800.
Yeah, that was a point that Alistair was making. Look, thank you very much for that, Andrew. I'm going to move on to Steve at Mossy Point. And Steve, welcome.
Thanks, Andy. Look, can I just quickly comment on Four Corners on Monday night, and then just a comment quickly as a tourist, a regular tourist to Tasmania.
As a tourist to Tassie, of course.
Yep. Now, first off, I reckon what we need in this debate is some emotion, because the politicians from both Labor and Liberal on Monday night showed no emotion whatsoever for the whole ecosystems that they're destroying and the animals that go with it. They just came across as greedy, and so did the representatives from Guns and Forestry Tasmania.
All right, and your point about the being a tourist there?
Well, I, along with eight of my friends, we do a biennial trip to Tasmania, and in 7 days we were last in the state, we spent $22,000 between us.
Yep.
Now, I wrote a letter to Mr. Bacon and explained all this to him, and everywhere we went in Tasmania, we went right around the state through the middle. We couldn't get away from logging trucks with old growth trees on the back of them. Even as we were entering the World Heritage Area on the Lake Petter Road, we stopped for a photograph under the Welcome to the World Heritage Area. We had all the motorbikes parked under the sign, and the logging trucks were still pouring out of the World Heritage Area. I asked Mr. Bacon to comment on that in my letter, and I wrote a two-page letter, and the total contempt they have for the Australian public, he wrote back two lines saying, thanks for your comments. Didn't answer any questions. Just thanks for your
So what does that make you feel about being a tourist going to Tasmania?
Well, this is it. On the trip home, there were, honestly, we spent $22,000 between us.
Sure.
Over the week, and we all said we will never go back until they stop destroying the forest.
Steve, thank you.
It's out of control.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Let's go to Alec in Canberra, and I believe this is Alec Maher. And Alec Maher would be the National Campaign Director for the Tasmanian Wilderness Society, Alec.
G'day, Sandy.
Yeah, nice to talk to you. So, what are the big issues here?
Well, look, the destruction of old growth forests are obviously the big issues, and you've never seen so much destruction in your life as what's going on in Tasmania right now. It's really heartbreaking. It couldn't be happening without $100 million that the federal government gave to the Tasmanian government when they signed the RFA, which was meant to solve the problem.
But, the timber industry's answer to that, Alec, would be that it's operating under the RFA.
Yeah, well, the RFA was fundamentally flawed from the beginning, and instead of using $100 million to solve the problem, they've used it to entrench the problem. So we've seen over 5 million tonnes of wood chips a year coming out of Tasmania's forests, and that's why there's a massive level of trauma, not just for the Tasmanian landscape, but the whole Tasmanian community.
So does the RFA need to be scrapped, amended, or does it need to be renegotiated?
Look, it needs a bullet in the head.
Right.
It is absolutely unfixable, and I would like to say that I think Bill Heffernan and Four Corners have been a real breath of fresh air. You saw the level of belligerence on Four Corners from the major players in Tasmania, and I think we need to thank both Heffernan and the Four Corners for turning a spotlight on this particular bunch of cockroaches.
Yes.
What is really needed is immediate protection of these fantastic old growth forests like the Styx, the Tarkine, Eastern Tiers, Western Tiers and Tasman Peninsula.
Yes. So, how do you answer the critics who say that the green groups, all they want to do is totally stop all logging and nothing short of that will satisfy you?
Well, the vast bulk of the Tasmanian timber industry is actually based in plantations already.
Yeah.
But what we're seeing is last smash and grab raid by Forestry Tasmania and Guns to destroy as much as they can, as fast as they can.
Yeah. Are you concerned about accountability in all of this?
Well, of course, this is the most unaccountable industry in the country. I mean, they're exempt from FOI, they're exempt from the federal environment laws, they're exempt from many of the Tasmanian planning laws, and so then, of course, they can say with a clear conscience, well, we're not breaking any laws. Well, that's right, because...
So why do they need... Explain to me why they... Because I'm a mug punter in all of this, but why does they need to be exempt from freedom from information?
Because as soon as people really understood how little we're getting paid for the trees and how much damage is being done, how much taxpayers' money is being wasted, there'd be even more outrage in Tasmania than there is now. And so everywhere they've run into a problem, they've been able to bend the will of the Tasmanian Parliament to exempt them from those laws and that level of scrutiny. And I think Bill Heffernan's right. If these people are so squeaky clean and transparent, then why do they have to cover up every bit of their activity.
Yep. Alec, good to talk to you. Thank you indeed. That's Alec Maher, National Campaign Director for the Tasmanian Wilderness Society, and this is Josie in Melbourne. Hello, Josie.
Hi, how's it going?
Very well, thanks.
I'm actually from a group called the Melbourne Tucker Action Group. We formed in response to what's going on in Tasmania and the forest situation.
Right. And particularly about the Tarkine.
Yeah, particularly the Tarkine. Because, I mean, with the RFA process, in principle, it's sort of a good idea, you know, protect, significant species and communities, but the research was not adequate in that process, and the compromises made meant that areas like the Tarkine that were actually recommended for World Heritage in the RFA have missed out on protection and are being logged right at the moment.
Yeah, thank you very much for your call. I want to bring in Kate Carnell now, as I said earlier, previous Chief Minister of the ACT and now Executive Director of the National Association of Forest Industries. And Kate, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Sandy.
So, do you think the Regional Forest Agreement's working properly in Tasmania?
Sandy, I think it's really important to put all this in perspective at the moment. What was the Regional Forest Agreement to start with? It was an effort by the then Labor federal government and state governments to try to sort out the problem or the perceived problems of forestry in Australia. And it was about looking at the whole forest reserve and preserving areas that needed to be preserved, high conservation areas, a whole heap of old growth areas, and putting other areas aside for production, for forestry production, forestry harvesting. As a result of the regional forest agreements right around Australia, an extra million hectares of forest was put into reserves. In Tasmania, that we're talking about tonight, 458,000 hectares of forests were put into reserves as a result of the regional forest agreement.
It's a very small amount, though, Kate.
No, it's a very big amount. What that produced, I mean, I think it's important to remember that before the regional forest agreements, about 2 million hectares of Tasmania was reserved. So an extra 500,000 hectares was put in as part of the regional forest agreement. So a huge increase. And what that meant was that 40% of Tasmania's whole land mass, now we're talking about the land mass, was reserved in national parks and areas that weren't available for logging. 86% of old growth on public land is now in reserves. 95% of wilderness areas is today in reserves. The amount of old growth logging in Tasmania now is about 1,000 hectares a year. Now remember I told you before, 458,000 hectares of new land, new high conservation areas were put into reserves as a result of the RFAs. In fact, you know, at current harvesting levels, the proportion of current old growth that will still exist in 10 years' time, you know, remember we're supposed to be logging at accelerated levels and so on, but in 10 years' time, 97% will still be there.
Can I just ask you, though, about the Four Corners program? They were making allegations of an industry unreasonably throwing its weight around in a small economy.
Well, I think that the Four Corners program was totally unacceptable and was really biased. The comment that was even made tonight that somehow guns are a monopoly is a really interesting comment, and I'm sure there'd be lots of sawmill owners, people involved in forest industries in Tasmania that would be very upset by that approach. Certainly guns are the biggest, and we'll talk a bit more about that in a minute, but there are a very large number, in fact hundreds of other sawmills in Tasmania, a large number of forest owners, just over 40% of wood comes from private property in Tasmania, so lots of small owners of plantations and native forests. So what was said on Four Corners simply wasn't right. Guns are not a monopoly by any stretch of the imagination. They are a Tasmanian company that's done very well. They were a little Tasmanian-owned company that took over some very big national companies. They are an Australian-owned company. And surely we should be getting behind companies, well, local boys done well,
sure,
as John Gay has.
Is it acceptable that Tasmania's forestry industry is exempt from planning reviews?
They're not. They're just simply not. That's simply not an acceptable comment. The comment that I even heard tonight that somehow Tasmanian forests were exempt from endangered species legislation nationally is again a spin. It's certainly true that that Tasmanian forests are not subject to the EPBC Act, which covers most endangered species federally. But the reason for that is it's covered, endangered species are covered under the Regional Forest Agreement Act nationally. So you wouldn't cover the same thing under two separate pieces of legislation.
All right.
Endangered species are covered under federal legislation.
Let me get a quick comment from Alistair Graham. Alistair, are we dealing with spin here?
Look, it's simply untrue. The RFA legislation at the federal level doesn't deal with threatened species. The situation in law is very clear. The EPBC Act has a simple exemption in it, which means that all the federal government listing exercises and provisions for threatened species don't apply in the Tasmanian RFA area. And the problem is that within Tasmania, as a result of us trying to use our own domestic state law to try and get some kind of restraint on the forest industry, the government simply changed the law to exempt approved forest practices plans, which is the entire commercial industry, from the provisions of the state threatened species legislation in terms of being required to get permission to take wildlife, which is the kind of provisions you have
in legislation across the country. Up that other point. I mean, are you making too bold a claim to say that guns is a monopoly? I mean,
no, sorry, that was your comment, not mine. Kate is correct. Guns is the huge dominant force commercially, socially and politically in Tasmania, but technically, Kate is right, it's not a monopoly. There are other players, although it is many, many years since there were 100 mills in Tasmania, but there are about a couple of dozen other mills in Tasmania.
All right, let me come back to...
Sure, there are people in the industry other than guns, but none of them are a major player.
Let me come back to Kate Carnell for a moment. Kate, are you concerned by the perception that there's a lack of transparency and that we've got an industry that needs somehow an exemption from FOI?
Look, I am concerned about the perception of a lack of transparency. Everybody would be. And I have to say the whole industry is. And that's the reason that the industry's been working with government and with any green groups that are interested to address that perception. The fact is we want people to understand the processes that exist in Tasmania today. And between the Forest Practices Board, forestry, forest harvesting plans, the code of practice, there's a whole range of checks and balances that are in place. In fact, it was really interesting in that the five-year review of the regional forest agreements, one of the criticisms was that the community really didn't understand the communications process or didn't understand what really existed in terms of checks and balances today. And that certainly comes out in the comments that have been made tonight and were made on Monday night as well.
Yes. All right, Kate, I'll come back to you and I'll come also back to Alistair Graham in a moment. Soon we'll be joined by Senator Bill Heffernan, Deputy Chair of the Senate's Inquiry into the Plantation Forest Industry. His report, incidentally, out sometime soon. Let's take some more calls, though, from around the country and go to Neil in the Huon Valley, lovely part of the world. G'day, Neil. Welcome to the program.
How are you going?
Yeah, good.
Look, Tasmania is Australia's only state and one of the only places in the world that deliberately targets native marsupials with 1080. Now, 1080 is a highly toxic substance that kills possums, wallabies, bettongs, wombats,
sure,
potteroos,
yep,
that graze on plantation seedlings, which replace clear-felled native forests. Now, these poison carrots, of course, are left around the seedlings for animals to pick up. Now, not only is this sandy barbarically cruel and at variance with Tasmania's clean green image, there's been absolutely no long-term studies on the effects of 1080 on native carnivorous marsupials, which are known to eat the poison carcasses. Now, we have less than 200 breeding pairs of the wedge-tailed eagle.
I was just going to say, what about the raptors? Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, there have been no studies on them long-term and the long-term effects of 1080 as they feed on dying marsupials. And also, the poor old Tasmanian devils are in massive decline over here due to a cancer causing virus.
Yeah, horrible. I was talking to Nick Mooney about that horrible stuff.
It's appalling, yeah, and it's really a big worry. Now, there, again, have been absolutely no long-term studies on the long-term biological effects of them eating 1080 poison carcasses courtesy of the forest industries.
Okay, Neil,
all these animals live, Sandy, on the edge at the very best of times, and adding 1080 to their diet courtesy of the forest industries is pushing them over the edge. And with this huge push to replace native forests with plantations, there's never been such a huge amount of 1080 poisoning on this island.
Okay, Neil, I have to leave there and move on. Thank you for that. And to Bernie in Tasmania and to Gillian, welcome.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm going to comment mainly on the attitudes of people in authority in a small state like Tasmania.
Yes.
There's almost a resentment that anyone should claim to know sufficient to suggest that they're perhaps making a mistake. There's a sort of arrogant resentment that goes with the authority. You know, big fish in a small pond. And it started with Lake Pedder. Then we had the Franklin. And meanwhile, this felling of trees has gradually impinged on people's visual senses to the degree that they sit up and take notice. But there's an awful secrecy in this state. I don't know about the others. And the public explanation is always that the economy is one of the worst in Australia, so you've got to make money where you can. But I think it's so short-sighted, because the people in authority now might be making money for the state, but what about years ahead? There'll be nothing here. It'll be like those devastated countries where all their hardwood has gone off elsewhere.
Gillian, thank you very much for your thoughts as we go to Phil, also in Burnie. G'day, Phil.
G'day, how are you?
Good.
I was just to reiterate some of the other callers, just to say that the regional forest agreement has been an absolute disaster for Tasmania. It has completely locked the Tasmanian public out of any say whatsoever.
So how does the Tasmanian public have a say about getting out of this? If this agreement is so bad, as a majority of people in Tasmania seem to think, I mean, other than the people involved in the industry, how do you get out of it?
Well, I mean, that's the great question. I mean, there's been a huge and growing amount of pressure in Tasmania on both sides of Parliament to make some reasonable changes and address this issue over many, many years, and there just seems to be a complete block on both sides of Parliament. And, I mean, as was sort of demonstrated in the Four Corners report on Monday night, is that especially Gunns has in a small island, has just so much power over government processes, and you know, and it's been clearly shown the political donations and the collusion that goes on between major industry players and between government, that there's a solid block, and that there's just no chance, or it seems that that's the case, of getting any change whatsoever.
Yeah. Phil, I'll leave it there. Thank you very much indeed. I want to bring in Senator Bill Heffernan, Deputy Chair of the Senate Inquiry into the plantation forest industry, and Senator, great to have you on the program. Welcome.
Thanks very much.
Now, you've expressed strong reservations about the forestry industry and the way it's managed in Tasmania. Can you reiterate your key issues there?
Oh, well, I mean, obviously, I have some serious concerns about the fact that we've heard all sorts of stories and versions of stories in our Senate inquiry, and I have to say that the Tasmanian government, who obviously has carriage of the foreign forestry, has chosen not to cooperate with us, and we haven't been able to interview to gain the necessary information so far to make a reasoned judgment on some of the allegations that have been made. But as I said on Four Corners the other night, if you've got to hide behind special exemptions, then the ordinary country out there is, you know, entitled to think, well, what have they got to hide? And, we're yet to determine what all that means, but I have to say that we're not here to destroy the forest industry. I'd rather think we're here to fix it, and we're not so sure, and I'm not so sure that, like the national disgrace, which is the over-allocation of the rivers and the waters in the Murray-Darling Basin, that they're not over-allocating their forest resource driven by the chip industry in Tasmania.
Yes, I should point out that we also, Senator, tried to get the Tasmanian government to speak on the program tonight, but they were unavailable.
Well, I noticed that since the Four Corners program, they've trotted out a junior minister, and Mr. Lennon's unavailable, which,
yes.
I have to say, I've been described today by the Leader of the Opposition as a seagull senator, which I take as a compliment.
Now, look, let's get back to the regional forest agreement. This was, I believe, the first regional forest agreement ever put in place. In hindsight, was it flawed?
I don't think there's anything there that can't be fixed if people are prepared to bring a bit of goodwill to the debate. And for instance, and it is, it's true, and Tasmanian cooperated, the Commonwealth was grateful for that and was given a reward of some millions of dollars in the process, which, they've spent in the way they felt best to spend the money. But can I say that, as Four Corners pointed out on Monday night, the RFA Forest Practices Code has not been complied with, and Kate knows this because we've had a discussion about it. There's absolutely no work being done on protecting the quantity of water. There's been some minor work done on the quality of water, and I'm pleased to see that Forestry Tasmania has advertised for a hydrologist there a couple of weeks ago. Tasmanians, anyone that thinks that Tasmanian has got a water problem, as the Northern Territory doesn't think they've got a water problem, is thinking down the wrong log, because they have got a serious water problem long term, and there's been no impact studies done in, and no benchmarking done to provide for the Forest Practices Code compliance. In 1997, they should have done some benchmarking. They've been honest yes. enough to own up and say they haven't done it.
Yes. What about the relationship between the timber companies and the government?
Well, you know, from what I can gather, and as I say, I'm a Seagull senator, but I would say that a lot of politicians and even the government is intimidated down there. I think that the Tasmanian government would find it better to deal with the timber industry didn't if it wasn't dominated by one player. And there's certainly no question that a lot of people are intimidated by the industry. There's a lot of bulldozers that I spoke to out in the forest there that are mournful and shameful of what they've got to do, but they've got to meet their mortgage payments on their bulldozers, and when they push down some of the timber which is pushed up and wasted, bear in mind that in the old growth forest there's really only a 10% of the forest ends up in the sawmill stack. The rest goes to the timber.
Would you? Yeah. Just one final thing, Senator. Do you think there is a case for the federal government to intervene?
Well, I think there are obviously some restrictions on the level at which the federal government can intervene, but I have to say there is a review of the RFA, and the Commonwealth has yet to respond, and I'm hopeful that the Commonwealth will raise some of the concerns that were genuinely raised. I mean, I realise there's a lot of emotion and criticism of the Four Corners program. I think that people who saw that fork, a lot of them just sat there with their eyes glued to the screen because, you know, it's a very sad state of affairs when the 100-year outlook, the environmental outlook, the future outlook for all Tasmanians' grandchildren is brought down to looking over your shoulder for some political advantage. I think politics ought to be taken out of this debate. We ought to do the right thing with the future of Tasmania.
Senator, thank you indeed for your time.
Thank you.
That's Senator Bill Heffernan, Deputy Chair of the Senate's Inquiry into Plantation Forest Industry. And I'll come back to Kate Carnell on those non-compliance issues in a moment or two. Let's also go around Tasmania again. And John in Tasmania, welcome, John.
Hello, Sandy. How are you?
Yes, good. Good, thanks.
I just wanted to first correct one of Kate Carnell's jaw-droppers. The figures for our wood chip exports have been suppressed, you know, since 2001, and you can only... That can only be done where one party has 85% of the market or more, so much for them not being dominant. But I also wanted to stress something that a lot of people tend to overlook is the grotesquely disproportionate speed of Tasmanian logging. We contribute about 70% of the wood chip exports from about 5% of the loggable forest, which
right.
works out to a rate of about 40 to 50 times as fast as the rest of the country.
Yes.
We have a native vegetation clearance rate from logging alone that's proportionally three times as high as Queensland. And this is being basically stimulated by arrangements such as where Gunns clear fells a coop of state forest and plants a plantation. They are allowed to grow that plantation and own the trees rent-free.
Yeah. All right, thank you for that. We go to Noel in Upper Beaconsfield. G'day, Noel.
Oh, g'day, Sandy.
Yes.
Excellent to have this program on in an election year. I'm flabbergasted that Kate Carnell can say people don't know the processes. For us on the ground, whether we're working locally or at the state level or at the federal level, the rules keep changing, and it doesn't matter if you go back to Terania Creek, if you look at Goongra,
yes.
if you look at the Lemon Time, Harris Dyshower's performance in New South Wales is as bad as Gunns in Tasmania. We are struggling with VCAT. We are struggling at the local level with a small creek that has Aboriginal artefacts on. A developer can come in, they've gone too close to the creek, they've done it above Traralgon in Gippsland. It doesn't matter whether you look locally, whether you look state, or whether you look federally.
So what's I mean, this is the sort of story we hear time and time again. What's failing? What's failing? Where are the
our
safety checks?
Aren't leading.
No. All right.
Very simple. Will they lead this time? They saved the Franklin, but only because it was to their advantage. And look what happened to the green tinge of Labor then.
Yes. Well, I'm not going to make a comment on the tinges of Labor, but Noel, thank you very much for that. And to Steve in Hobart. Hello, Steve.
Oh, good evening, Sandy.
Yes.
I just wanted to talk about the world forests, Sandy, and a couple of other points related to that. Last November, I went on a tour from the local environment centre, which took us into the world forests, which are old-growth forests on the edge of the South West National Park and really should be in the National Park. To see what's happening there is just heartbreaking. It really is just heartbreaking. And you try to understand why is this happening? What's the rationality behind it? Now, the answer we're given is that this is to supply the veneer and saw log industry. Now, there are alternatives. We don't need those saw logs. There are alternatives in terms of structural framing for houses. And as for veneer, well, I'm quite happy to do without veneer.
What about the industry's claim that they need jobs and government's claim that they need jobs?
Well, I think Alistair's earlier comments about transition out of those sort of that industry is the way to go. I mean, give people alternative employment and get a package up. If you actually see the forest, you just cannot believe that this is happening. It just should not be happening.
All right. I'll leave it there. I'll take that on board because I need to come back to our guests. I want to go to Kate Carnell first because, Kate, as Executive Director of the National Association of Forest Industries, surely you must be a little bit uptight about these non-compliance issues.
Sandy, no, because it's part of the process.
Since 1999, we hear that the things that are supposed to have been done by 1999 still have not been done.
I don't accept that. Well, I accept that there's a process in place. A 5-year review of the RFA has been completed. That was done with significant community consultation and community input. What happens with that 5-year review is it goes to both the Tasmanian and the federal government, and they respond as well. Now, it's certainly true. In that review, there were issues that were raised, as there should be, on ways that we can get better. It is a continual improvement approach, and those issues are being addressed. As I said before, that one of those things that were addressed in the review, not by me, was that the actual processes, the communication of the processes that exist hadn't been all that good, and people really didn't understand how the RFAs and the processes surrounding it actually worked. We can always get better as an industry, as I'm sure all industries can, broadcasting, mining, whatever. We can do better. And the industry is striving to achieve that.
Sure, but Kate, you understand it doesn't look good when the things that are implemented straight away are the ones that benefit the industry and the environmental concerns appear, and I stress, appear to be left on the back burner.
I'd like to say appear, and what you just said is absolutely wrong. As part of the RFA, the first thing that happened was a significant number amount of our forests was locked up in national parks. That was day one. 458,000 hectares of the best forests that we had were locked up in national parks. Now, a lot of the industry was very upset by that. It did mean that there was a huge amount of restructuring. Some people closed, some people had to change the way they operated. There was a huge restructuring in industry, and there were jobs that were lost as a result of the RFA on day one. What happened after that was we put in place, not just in Tasmania, but in other parts of Australia as well, an agreement that was reached between state and federal governments to oversee how our working forests actually operated.
Yes. I want to stick back on this non-compliance thing and get a comment from Alistair Graham from the Tasmanian Conservation Trust. Alistair, I'm hearing two different stories here. I'm hearing non-compliance from Senator Bill Heffernan and I'm hearing compliance from Kate Carnell. Give me another point of view.
Well, all I can really do is reiterate what I said before. I mean, Kate doesn't know her RFA and she doesn't know the law. The absolute fact of the matter is that the RFA does say in their milestone section in Attachment 3 to the RFA that by 1999 measures to encourage retention of native vegetation will be in place. And this has got the Prime Minister's initial at the bottom of the page.
If I just put that to Kate Carnell and she tells me I'm totally wrong.
I know, but you have to understand that people who are defending vested interests will do what it takes to defend vested interests, and the community out there has to make a choice. And when that choice has been made, the reality is the only practical option we have is federal intervention.
Yeah.
The industry, which will say what it needs to say in order to get what it wants, has so much control over the state government that there is no reasonable hope of getting the proper agreed legal outcomes that we're entitled to by appealing to the state government. It's only the federal government that can do this.
Yes, Kate Carnell, I mean, Senator Bob Brown claims there are now greater levels of public outrage over this issue than was over the Franklin Dam. Just how much public pressure can the industry and even the government stand on this?
And Sandy, you said just a little while ago that the majority of people in Tasmania didn't support the RFA. In fact, there is no evidence of that at all. In fact, the government that you've been talking about, the Tasmanian government, had an election quite recently, which is the best possible poll, and they were returned with an increased majority.
Senator Bob Brown is wrong when he says the greater levels of public outrage than at the time of the Franklin Dam?
I think he's making up his figures. That's what he would like to think, as you might like to think, that the majority of people in Tasmania don't support the RFA. The real polls, like elections, show quite definitely that that's not the case. There are certainly people who have concerns about some forestry practice. You know, Sandy, forestry is not all that pretty, nor are abattoirs, and nor a whole range of things that we do. But every single tree that we cut down in Tasmania is replanted. Every single one, and has been for a very long time. The forest cover in Tasmania is increasing, not decreasing.
All right, Kate.
86%. No, just for a moment. 86% of old-growth forests are locked up in reserves. 95% of wilderness is in reserves. Only 2% or under 2% of the logging that currently exists is in old-growth areas at all. And in fact, only about, well, between 5 and 10% of the wood chips that are exported are from old-growth areas. 75% come from regrowth areas and 20% from plantation areas.
All right, Kate, I need to take some more calls. Thank you for that. I'll come back to you in a moment or two. Let's go to Mal Ryan in Burnie. Mal, welcome.
Afternoon, Sandy.
Yes, good day.
I'd like to clear up a couple of things. A couple of callers ago said we're bleeding down here. I'm afraid that's wrong. We have cancer.
Right.
It's as simple as that. Now, I've got a different view here. I've been against the plantation development, Sandy, coming onto our good farmland,
right,
wrecking our rural communities. In line with the Plantations for Australia, the 2020 vision, just one line. Government and industry in Australia has developed a strategy aimed at increasing the country's timber plantation resource from 1 million to more than 3 million hectares by 2020. The strategy aims to remove legislative, technical, commercial and cultural impediments to plantation establishment. Why? I think we should have a right to say we don't want plantations ruining our rural communities or taking over our cultural heritage, all those sort of things, Sandy.
Okay, Mal, thank you very much indeed. That's Mal Ryan from Burnie. And in Priolina in Tasmania, Colleen. Hello, Colleen.
Hello, Sandy.
Yes, good day.
I'm really concerned. Kate Carnell is, I don't know where, she must be sitting in an office in Canberra, because quite frankly, here in Tasmania, my husband and I have been bearing the brunt of unmitigated plantation development, clear felling in Priolina area. She talks about, we're locking up, the old growth areas. Well, under the RFA, they talked about reserving CAR values, comprehensive and adequate reserves of native species. They went out, they mapped the whole of the northwest coast. There was a blob on the map that represented our property. There was a blob on the map, blobs on the map that represented the plantation developers that bought our beautiful farms. And guess what? They've logged the lot.
Yes.
There are no CAR values left, so we've got the sleight of hand. Suddenly, we said when we signed the RFA, we've got X number of hectares of old growth represented on private land. We don't have it now, so what do? We sort of exchange it for something else. But the other thing is, Sandy, that program on Monday night, did something. And it made Tasmanians aware of what people like my husband and I have had to go through to protest private timber reserve declarations
and,
on land.
Colleen, look, I have to leave because we are running out of time, but thank you for that, and nice to talk to you and Priyalina. To Mountain River, and one of the places I know extremely well. Hello, Mike.
G'day, Sandy. How are you?
Good, mate.
Look, I'd like to agree with the previous caller and say Kate Carnell has been very poorly briefed. The sort of things that she's coming out with here, the figures, and I know the figures, I know the RFA, from reading these things and taking great interest, and they're simply not accurate. When she talks about increasing the forest cover in Tasmania, she's talking about plantations and she's talking about trees which are Victorian eucalypts and pines. They're
not Tasmanian trees.
No, that's correct. So that's just one example. But I'd also like to say to the Senator Heffernan and some of the other brave federal politicians like Duncan Kerr, thank you for representing Tasmanians and actually giving us a light at the tunnel, end of the tunnel.
Yeah, it's interesting that it crosses both sides of politics too, which is interesting.
It does, and I think these people are decent people who have seen what's happening down here. And I think we have to send a message out of Tasmania from Four Corners and from tonight to mainland Australians. That message is that, you know, this government and the Liberal opposition in Tasmania are currently allowing ongoing poisoning of our native wildlife, you know, bulldozing of native vegetation to put in plantations and unchecked land clearing, and we do need federal intervention.
Right.
This election coming up.
Yeah, well, that's my next question to both Kate Carnell and Alistair Graham. Look, thank you very much indeed for that. That's Mike at in Mountain River. And we've only got a few minutes left, but just very quickly back to Kate Carnell and Alistair Graham. And to you, first of all, Kate, is this going to be a federal election issue, do you think?
I don't think so. We don't mind if it is, by the way, as long as what we can do is get some science back into this debate. We had an earlier caller who suggested we needed to be emotional. To make hard decisions like this, we need science. Tonight we've heard people who say we don't need any more plantations. We've heard people who've said we only want plantations. What it's got to do is be a balance between native forests and plantations and reserves.
So would you support a call for a royal commission?
Look, a royal commission based upon the allegations of one ex-disgruntled employee would be very inappropriate. Let's be fair, there's often allegations, even against the ABC sometimes. If you had a royal commission every time one person made some allegations, it'd be a very, very expensive exercise. Yes. The ABC would spend its life in royal commissions. But
let me ask Alistair Graham, but what do you think about the idea that this head of steam that's building up in Tasmania will end up making this a federal election issue, as Bob Brown suggests?
I certainly think it deserves it, and certainly I and my colleagues will seek to do that. There's no doubt whatsoever that there is a problem as a result of the political intransigence in Tasmania, as a result of industry dominance of the political system, and we need help from the Australian community. And I think what happened in Western Australia shows that we can actually bite the bullet and fix these problems, and the sky will not fall in.
Yes.
But I have to come back to one point that Kate said, is that the scientific community are quite distressed at how their contribution to developing the RFA has been misrepresented by government and industry. The scientific community are deeply disturbed at what's going on, and it's certainly our wish that if the level of bullying and intimidation can be reduced a little, the scientific community will start saying what it thinks. But we do need federal intervention. It's very hard to communicate to mainlanders just how intimidating the environment is down here to work in.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, Alistair, is there a problem? I mean, even though you seem to have bipartisan support for at least some inquiry into this, do you think that because we are talking about such a small part, and with all due respect to Tasmania, a small but beautiful part of Australia, that it just doesn't rate on the national radar, really?
Well, I think as all parts of Australia are small in a local area. Whether they become a national issue, I think, is for the community at large. And certainly I very much hope that the community at large will hear our cries and respond, and that it will become a national issue, just like the Barrier Reef has become a national issue, just like Ningaloo. They're all local issues that get serious problems that need national solutions.
Alistair Graham.
We've got one.
Thank you very much indeed. Alistair Graham from the Tasmanian Conservation Trust and Kate Carnell, also from the Executive Director of the National Association of Forest Industries. Thank you to both of you.